Good afternoon, and welcome to this afternoon's NAESP Webinar Wednesday, Reunite, Renew, and Thrive, SEL Roadmap for Reopening Schools. At this time, I would like to introduce NAESP's Associate Executive Director of Professional Learning, Dr. Gracie Branch.
Thank you, Danielle. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Gracie Branch. I'm at NAESP, and I've got the pleasure of introducing our speaker this afternoon. Justina Schlund is the Director of Field Learning at the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, better known as CASEL. You can follow Justina on Twitter at Justina Schlund. I love to check out people's Twitter accounts, learn a little bit more about them. Of course, I follow Justina on Twitter. She is an SEL, equity-minded educator. Buy the bake sale goodies at the store, Minded Mama, Chicago in my heart, and born again Texan. Another interesting fact that she wants to make sure that you know is that CASEL, in collaboration with more than 40 organizations, including NAESP, helped to develop Reunite, Renew, and Thrive Social and Emotional Learning and SEL Roadmap for Reopening School, to guide school leadership teams in leveraging SEL to support planning for the transition back to school. I can't tell you what a privilege it was to kind of contribute a small part to that guide. It's an outstanding resource, and Justina is going to tell us more about that today and how to use it effectively. So thank you, Justina, for being here, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Gracie, for having me, and thank you all so much for joining today. I know that you all are in the beginning of an incredibly challenging and strange school year this year. I know many of you are at the end of a school day or a work day, and I'm just so appreciative that you're focused on SEL and you've taken time to be here with me. We're going to talk about the roadmap that Gracie had referenced that NAESP and many other organizations contributed to. And I just put that link into the chat box, which I think you can find in your Zoom toolbar if you click chat. And if you want to follow along in that roadmap, you're welcome to do so. I'll also be sharing a lot of the pages here on the screen today. While you're down there in the chat, just know that also I'll be asking you all throughout this conversation to join in the discussion with me. So to use the chat frequently to raise questions, to share ideas and things like that. So hopefully you'll have that open and follow along with me. By way of introduction, again, thanks for the very exciting introduction, Gracie. I am also a former teacher, school administrator, and district SEL director from the Chicago Public Schools. As my Twitter account mentioned, in case any stray kids walk in here, I'm also the mother of two students who are in the middle of their distance learning day. So you may hear them in the background, so apologies for that. For those of you who don't know CASEL, we are a nonprofit organization that introduced the term SEL 26 years ago. Just to clear up any misconceptions, we are not a program, we are not a curriculum, but we work to build the field of SEL. So we do that in partnership with practitioners like yourselves, with researchers, and with policymakers, working toward the mission of making SEL a fundamental part of pre-K through 12th grade education. And so before we jump in today, I'd like to ask you to reflect for a moment and imagine it's 1 month from now. What do you hope that students will say about how school's been going so far this year? What will they feel? And if you'll take a moment to reflect on that question and then open up your chat box and share a few words that come to mind, just so we're bringing those thoughts into this space. And thanks for reflecting on that with me. So why are we talking about SEL right now in this moment? If you're in a school, I think I don't have to tell you that we are in the midst of these unprecedented set of circumstances, and we are facing the layered impact of health and safety concerns, of economic crisis, of a national conversation about anti-Black racism and systemic inequities and a fight for racial justice. And so I'm sure as you are beginning this school year, there are lots of things weighing on your mind around what school will look like and how we will keep everyone safe. So we are going to talk today about SEL, not as a way to solve all of these issues that are in front of you, but really as we think about how we're hoping students will experience school this year and how we're hoping to set them up to be successful, how SEL can be a critical part of making sure that we are really fully, holistically, equitably supporting all of our students and also all of our adults. I'm also hopeful, and if you have the SEL roadmap, you'll see that a lot of it is also not just that we are responsive to this challenging moment, but that potentially we are using this as a pause and a reimagine of what classrooms, whether they are virtual or in person, might look like if we really integrate SEL systemically through all of our work in schools, and we're really using SEL to build relationships and to work together and to create more caring and just schools and communities. So to ground us in what we mean by SEL, I always just like to start with Castle's most basic definition of a lifelong process of SEL, which is really about whether you are a student or adult, you're engaged in this process of developing a sense of who we are, which includes my emotions and my identities, of understanding other people's perspectives and building those connections and relationships with people who are similar to us and people who are different than us. And then being able to make decisions and take action so that we are contributing and caring members of our schools, of our families, of our workplaces, and our communities. And at Castle, we talk about implementing SEL systemically. And what that means is that SEL really is about, it isn't just a 30-minute weekly lesson that you put into your classroom, but it's about intentionally creating the conditions for learning, which includes equitable and inclusive learning environments. It includes caring relationships with adults and with peers. And it includes actively involving all students, not just those that we think need extra support, but every single one of our students in learning and practicing social and emotional competencies. And this approach really relies on those connections that you have at the school with your families and communities. And I think these school, family, community partnerships have really been brought to the forefront during this time when school may not be in a physical school building. We've also been exploring what it means to implement SEL intentionally right now to promote equity and healing. So I think this is relevant to this moment, but also over the long term as we seek to understand kind of everything that's going on in our world, and how we can leverage our self-awareness, our self-management, our social awareness, our relationship skills, and our responsible decision-making skills to really understand and explore our social and cultural identities, to understand what's going on in the world around us, and to develop ways that we can build empathy, that we can create relationships across distance, and that we can collectively begin to respond to the challenges and inequities in front of us. So with that background, this is how we began creating this SEL roadmap. And the guidance builds off of Castle's framework for systemic SEL and is really intended to support you, whether your schools are open physically or in blended learning or distance learning right now, and whether you've been implementing SEL for a long time or you're just beginning. And as Gracie mentioned, we didn't do this on our own, but with NAESP, with other organizations, including NEA, the Superintendents Association, NASSP, as well as district and school partners that we've been working with, and really asking them, what is the support that they need? What is the guidance that we think would be most useful during this moment in time? And so to give you a sense of the organization of this roadmap. We have structured it around four critical SEL practices that I'm going to walk you through in a moment. And each of these practices is then broken up into a few concrete activities that are intended to provide you with practical and usable guidance, really for how do you address this moment in time, but also how do you not return to business as usual, but think differently about student engagement, about relationships, and about the experience of school as a whole. Each activity then has a set of what we're calling essential questions to prompt you to pause and reflect. And if you're working through this maybe with your school teams or your staff, I think these essential questions are a great way to begin the conversation and frame them as you begin planning for the school year ahead. And they're also paired with specific actions for schools to do to prepare and to implement SEL strategies. And then they end with, and they all have a set of curated tools that we've kind of pulled from various resources, reviewed to kind of find the most high quality, easy to use tools to support these actions. And they end with some suggestions for how to sustain this work long term, so that SEL isn't really just the strategy of the moment, but really embedded into our long-term plan for schools. In the roadmap, if you've downloaded it, there is an organizer that can help you plan these actions if you're working through this as a school team. You can go to the link that's on your screen right now if you want to use this organizer as I talk through the actions in a minute to help begin to prioritize your different needs. These actions, again, are really meant to be adapted and used in the context that you're in. So something that might be important for one school may not be the same priority that another school would have given your local context. So let me give you an overview of the four critical practices, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about each of these practices, and in particular, critical practice two, which I think is really important to consider right now. Critical practice one is really about this need to prioritize relationships and plan thoughtfully for the school year in partnership with students, families, and communities. Critical practice two is about the need to take care of the adults, which we'll dig into deeper in the second half of this webinar. And critical practice three, which is really the core of a lot of the work we do, is how do we create the environment, the structures, and practices that promote all students' social, emotional, and academic development. And critical practice four is around how to use data to continuously improve and to elevate the voices and perspectives of students and families. So to get started into critical practice one, let's dig into some of the activities here, and again, use your own kind of organization system to prioritize what's most relevant to you at this point. But critical practice one, really, as we were talking to districts and schools and we were talking to others in the field, we really heard over and over that what's most important, if you prioritize nothing else in this moment, is to prioritize the relationships that you have with students, families, and community members. This includes thinking about students and families who may not have been well served or deeply connected with people at the school even before COVID. And so some of the schools that we've worked with are doing things like developing relationship maps to really intentionally identify what specific students have a personal connection and which students may not have a personal connection with someone at their school. And then thinking creatively about how to assign staff to make sure that there is personalized and consistent outreach, particularly to students who may not have been regularly engaged prior to this moment. In addition, this critical practice really talks about how to ensure clear and consistent and culturally responsive communication that keeps everyone informed, especially when there's so much uncertainty and change going on in our schools. And ensuring also that there are feedback loops so that we're listening to the school community and using their perspectives to inform our actions. And then all of this is really around how do we build a coalition of our students, of our family partners, of our community partners, of our staff, to really look at our existing priorities, our existing strategies, to set priorities for this school year, and to create a plan that's aligned to what educators can actually implement and responsive to stakeholders' hopes and concerns. Critical practice two, and again, we'll dive into this a little bit more deeply in a moment, but really it's about the need to take care of adults. Often, you know, we are thinking so much about the students in our school settings, and it is the adults who really play the important roles in supporting students socially, emotionally, and academically, but they themselves, especially right now, might be experiencing tremendous amounts of stress and potential trauma during this time. So as you begin this school year thinking about how to support students, we really encourage you to also think about how to create the dedicated time and space for staff to reflect on this moment, to talk about what they need, and also for school leaders and others to pay attention to and connect to, potentially mental health resources and trauma resources as they're needed. A lot of our districts that we work with have embedded SEL practices such as, really simple moments for reflection and relationship building into their virtual team meeting space. And they've also offered professional learning on things like self-care and stress management and use social media as a way to build connections between staff during a virtual time. In addition to the social emotional support, I think it's also important to call out how we're thinking intentionally about the professional support needed. So if we are, I think, at this moment asking educators to take on a lot around schooling. We're asking you as school leaders to innovate and think differently about engagement, connection, and virtual learning. So it's going to take collective effort.